is the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
It's time for an announcement. Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah!
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Awesome. How many of you have seen that movie before? Elf. My name is Ben Kendra. I'm the campus pastor here. It's a joy to be with you. We are in our sermon series, as Sly said, Christmas at the Movies. This is week number 2. And Elf is arguably a modern classic. How many of you would agree with that? I think it's amazing. I know it came out in 2003, the year my son was born. So it's holds a special place in my heart for that. But you know, when the favorite scene, my son, he loved that snowball scene when he's like throwing those snowballs. He loved that. So it always holds a special place in my heart. But when you look at that scene, Buddy was excited to see Santa, right? If you know the story, he thought it was the real Santa, right? If you haven't seen it by now, it's 2024. You had since 2003. Spoiler alert: you're gonna hear some things today. But he was excited to see Santa, that he was going to experience and see his friend and see Santa. So this movie is a classic because it is about a joy. It's about a faith. It's about a childlikeness in the time of Christmas. What I love about this movie is that Buddy is an elf. He lives in the North Pole. And his father is kind of a bitter, old, weather-beaten kind of life has ground him down. Children's publisher writes children's books and publishes in New York City, right? Who they typically have, you know, an attitude of that, you know, I'm walking here, that kind of a thing, right? And so you have this tension between Buddy the Elf, he's happy and joyful and childlike, and then you have his dad who's kind of disgruntled and hardened by life. And I would argue this, that as Sly was saying that this morning, maybe some of us have come in here this morning and we're bringing in some things that we're dealing with. Maybe it's happened to you in the past. Maybe Christmas has that bad taste in your mouth. Maybe that's you. Don't raise your hand. But for some of us, it is. It's an exciting time. You have little ones. You have children. You have grandchildren. You're excited to see what they're about, what they're going to wear, what they're going to ask for, and all these things. And so there's this tension that we see here with the Christmas time. And what I love about Elf is that it plays on that. It is. Will Ferrell, who is the elf, he's a great character, but he has this joy. He's trying to find this joy. He's trying to find his father. But all along, he knows who he is. He knows who Santa is, and he embraces all that he's called to be in his elfisms and elfdom, or whatever you want to call it. He knows who he is, right? And like us, do we know who we belong to? As Christians, as believers in this Christmas season, Do we understand that we're a child of God, that God loves us? And if God loves us because he sent his son to the cross, we should have great joy, great joy. Joy sometimes isn't walking around with a goofy smile on your face, but it's a contentment, a peace that comes. You might be going through some difficult seasons in your life right now, but you can still have that joy. You can still have that wonder. You can still have that excitement that we see here with Buddy. Now, I don't want it to get lost, like this is our jump-off point, the movie. But the real jump-off point is what we want to drill down on today. We want to think about the birth of Christ. That's what it's all about. That's where joy comes from, because of what Christ did on the cross. That was beautiful. And how about our worship team this morning? Beautiful time. Let's give it up for them again. Just wonderful. But as we think about Christmas, it's about this thrill of hope. This wonder, this awe of who God really is. And I know we at churches, we can browbeat and we can, you know preach at people. But like consumerism and taking eyes off of the things that really matter can really distract us and harden us. And so that's why Elf is a fantastic movie that reminds us of who the Father is and the redemptive work that he wants to do in each one of us. And so, hey, I just pray this morning as you come in here, that you're open and seeing what the Holy Spirit will do for you, that you can experience that all of God in new ways this season. No matter what you're going through, you can experience that this morning. You really can. In John chapter 17, Jesus himself says he knows the Father. As Buddy knows, and he was excited about Santa's coming. He was like, Santa! He was excited for that. He was excited because he knew, he experienced who Santa was. He lived in the North Pole. He did life with the elves and Santa. He knew experientially, and he lived daily with who Santa was. And so he was excitement. There was that joy. Do you have that same joy this morning? Because of who God is, do you know who God is? As Jesus says in John 17, he has seen the Father. He has seen the Father. He knows who the Father is, and he's one with the Father. And so for Jesus, he understood that who he was and where he came from, and he experienced the Father. And my hope and prayer for you this morning and in this Christmas season is that you will have an understanding, and you will be able to communicate, and you will be able to experience joy because of your experiences and your faith in Jesus Christ. That will be the overriding thing when everything else goes sideways and you have to go to your in-laws again or whatever that is. You're tired. You don't want to make cookies. Whatever that is, focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. We know who he is. And so here's the thing. As Buddy the Elf knew who Santa was, and he was excited too, there was such a joy in his heart. My hope and prayer is that us, as Brighton Heights, as Bridge City, as believers, that we'll have that same joy. We'll have that same joy today and throughout the year and everything else because of the work that Jesus did. Because we have an experience. We have a testimony. We are witnesses of this great joy, what he did for us. Amen? And so that's what I love about this movie. But more importantly, I love what Jesus did for us. Is that he is the one. He is the epitome. He is the definition. He's the center of what that joy is. And so listen, friends, if you're tired, if you're beat down, if you're worn down, don't lose that joy. Focus on Christ. Focus on that wonder of who God is and what he did through Jesus Christ. There was a code, if you remember this movie, there was a code of the code of the elves. Buddy's sitting in the classroom and he's talking and he says this. Here's the, can we read this together? Could you hum? Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Treat every day like Christmas. Here, number 2, there's room for everyone on the nice list. And number 3, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is to sing loud for all to hear. And so that was their code. That was what they were about. That's what Buddy and his crew was all about. That's what they were focused on. That was who they were. But here's what we're about today. We're about this. The code of the elves was to do that. But here's the code of Christmas for us. To experience Christ, to experience God, we want to know that there is good news. There's good news in Jesus Christ. Number 2, there is great joy. There is great joy because all he's done on the cross, he was God among, God Emmanuel, God with us. And then here's the thing, because there's good news, because there's great joy, you're going to want to go and tell people about him. You should want to tell people about who Jesus is. And so that's what we're going to kind of focus in on this morning. Good news, great joy, go and tell. Kind of like show and tell, but go and tell, right? That's what we're going to do. We want you to be people that are going to go and tell people about them. Maybe invite them to the service as well. So here's the thing this morning. How is your joy? Are you tired or do you have great joy? Do you know? I love it. I love some of you got great joy. I could hear you. But if you don't, this is for you as well. Some of us are just tired. Just life was, 2024 was hard. I get that. We want to be an encouragement to you. We want you to experience God in mighty, transformative ways. His Holy Spirit, a fresh wind, a fresh fire, that you can know the awe of God in your life. Hey, listen, I want to show you another clip. There's another clip as Buddy was excited to experience Santa in new ways. I want you to see this next clip. You can turn it up.
Santa.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
It's me!
Who the heck are you?
What are you talking about? I'm Santa Claus.
No, you're not.
Why, of course I am!
Well, if you're Santa, what song did I sing for you on your birthday this year?
Happy birthday, of course. How old are you, son?
Four.
You're a big boy. What's your name?
Paul.
And what can I get you for Christmas?
Don't tell him what you want. He's a liar.
Let the kid talk.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Look, I'm not kidding.
You're a fake.
I'm a fake?
Yes.
How'd you like to be dead? Huh? No, he's kidding.
You stink.
I think you're gonna have a good Christmas, all
right? You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Okay. Go.
She's a bastard! She's a fake!
Awesome. Could you imagine seeing that in real life at like your local Walmart or Target or Sam's Club? That's crazy. So what I love about the movie Elf, Buddy is a baby. He's found in an orphanage, and he's taken up. He gets into Santa's bag, and Santa takes him to North Pole. And his whole life, he as he's living in the North Pole, he doesn't quite fit in. They show this little montage of him, like, not fitting in properly. Like, his clothes are too tight. He doesn't fit into his shower. And then there's this one, I love this scene, where he's, like, dunking on all the elves playing basketball. I love that. But there's always something with Buddy that it just doesn't quite fit in. And there's something that's within him that he wants to find out who he is and why, well, you know, where he belongs and who his parents are. He realizes that he doesn't have his parents there. And so he's adopted by the late, great Bob Hope, who plays Papa Elf. And Papa Elf sits him down and says, Buddy, here's your real dad. He's in New York City. And here's the thing. Your dad is on the naughty list. Yeah. And so Buddy goes on. He journeys to New York. One of my other favorite scenes is there's a narwhal, kind of like the Bass Rankin style. He's like, I hope you find your dad, Buddy. I love that scene. That's for free. But Buddy sets off, and he goes to New York City. And he sees, he try to find his dad, and he goes to Gimbel's, and he gets connected here, and he hears Santa's coming, and then he gets in a fight. He recognizes that guy is an imposter who smells like beef and cheese, right? He's a fake, and he only knows that he's a fake because of his experience with him, his encounters with him. He knows what the real thing looks like as opposed to that imposter beef and cheese guy, right? And so Buddy sets out, and he's trying to reconcile that and tell these kids, don't believe that. And so would we be able to look at our faith and really truly examine our hearts and say, I recognize God for who he is. And not get caught up in these false things and all these different things that are out there that are going to try to draw your attention elsewhere and recognize them as a fake. That we have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We have his word in our lives to help guide and direct us. And so we see that, I love this, that he breaks down this, it's a funny scene, it's outrageous, but he recognizes that that's not the true Santa. And I just wonder, in our own lives sometimes, are we going through some things when we just are okay with the counterfeit or the fake thing? When really all God wants to do is bless us. He wants to bless us with a relationship. He wants his Holy Spirit to move in our lives. He wants the scriptures to come alive for us. He wants us to do life together as a church. And so we get so caught up and we isolate ourselves and we can get down and things like that. And so there's this thing that Buddy stands out in the world, and he's okay with that. He's even in, there's a point where his dad, as he meets up with his dad finally, his dad tries to get him to dress in a business attire. And he's sitting in the corner drinking hot chocolate. It's pretty funny. But Buddy is never satisfied with that. He just says, I know I'm different and I'm okay with that. I'm an elf. He's an elf through and through. And so he's going there, and he's representing the outcast, right? Buddy's this outcast of society. He's this orphan. These are the people that Jesus talked about, who he came for. But even within that, even with all those kind of those things that like just stand out of like on the outskirts of society, that God sees us as we are, broken people. He sees this guy, Ben Kendrew, is a broken man in need of grace. right? He sees that. And so here's the thing, that we all have to, we have a joy knowing who we are because of whose we are. Amen? We have a joy of knowing who we are because of who God is. And so Buddy knew that. He knew he belonged. He knew who Santa was. He knew who he was. And so he was able to move in his story there and to be able to spread Christmas cheer. He was likable. You ever meet someone that's overly nice? Do you find them annoying? Yes, you do, with that laugh. That's the answer. But Buddy had that. He was nice. See, here's the thing. When Christ comes, there's this joy. In Luke chapter 2, listen. Luke 2, 8 through 12. It says this. That night, and here's some other people that were kind of outcasts and on the outskirts of society. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. And the radiance of the Lord's glory shone all around them, surrounded them. They were terrified. I feel like that's the proper response for an angel, right? But the angel reassured them. Do not be afraid, he said. I bring you good news. Good news. Say good news. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Gotta love the NLT translation. And so, what is this good news? So the shepherds have heard about this. It's in their culture. They knew the Messiah was coming. In between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there, you know how long that period was? 400 years. Think about that. The United States isn't even that old, right? 400 years of this silence and this longing and waiting for God to move. It doesn't mean that God didn't move, but they were looking for this Messiah to come. And so finally, we have this passage in Luke chapter 2 that you have these outcasts of society, the shepherds. Shepherds were, you know, when you were around them, they were stinky. They were kind of outcasts. They were just, people didn't give them much dignity or respect. But even God cares about them. They're even mentioned in the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, that he sees us. That gives me hope as a knucklehead that I am, that God wants to use me, and God has a purpose and plan for me, that he wants me to understand this good news. He wants me to have this great joy, and he wants me to go tell it to others. The same is with you today. What will bring great joy to all these people? They're longing for this Messiah. They're longing someone to set them free, to deal with this problem that's there, this Savior, the Lord, the Messiah. And so the people, there's going to be great joy for when Jesus comes. And so the shepherds, they went to go see this Jesus, and they heard about this sign. It's also made famous by Linus in the Charlie Brown special. But here's the thing. I don't want you to miss this. That joy is a condition of our heart, not our circumstances. Joy is a condition of our heart, not our circumstances. Could you imagine working with sheep all day? Have you ever seen that meme when there's the guy that pulls the sheep out of the crevice, and he pulls the sheep off, and it bounces and bounds, and then it goes a couple feet forward and falls back into the same crevice? That the sheep are stupid. They're dumb. They're tough. And so it's got to be tough for a shepherd. But here we have this, that joy is a condition of the heart and not our circumstances. Shepherds could get all kind of discouraged and disgusted by what life was going on. But here they have this sign. They know of this coming Messiah. They're going to go and find out. And so they weren't dictated or governed by their circumstances, but they were governed by this condition of the heart, this condition of the heart. And so that condition of the heart comes because of who God is, that his promises are in Jesus. And he says, hey, you should have great joy. There's good news. Good news for just the shepherds? No, it was for all people, all places, all races, for all time. And so there should be this joy that comes forth. Great joy, it says. Great joy. Just like I get joy when I'm like, you know, a good meal, but like great joy. It's like, whew. But the good news is for all of us. The good news is for all of us to share. It's for everybody. So no matter where you're from or where you're at in your life, we're all on the same road if you're a believer. Some of us are a little further ahead. No matter where you are, there's this good news that we have to hear and we have to make part of us. It has to become part of our heart. John 14:21, it says this, those who accept my commands and obey them are the ones who love me. Because they love me, My Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. And that word reveal is to cause to shine, is to make known, is to come into view. And so as we come into view and we kind of, this is revealed to us, this great news of who Jesus is, this coming Messiah who's going to hope, deliver us from sins and all these things, it's revealing to us and it's going to cause us to shine. Does Jesus do that for you? Do you see him that way? Does he cause you to shine? Listen, when you go to a good restaurant, what is the next thing you do like the next day? You go and tell someone about it. The wings here at this place are amazing. Try this blank. And you go and tell somebody. How much more is it than what Jesus did on the cross? Right? We should be willing to go and tell of this good news. If we're willing to share what a good restaurant that was. And I love when people do that, by the way. But I also love it more when we're sharing the good news of who Jesus is with others. People need to know of the hope and the joy they can have. And especially around this time, studies have shown alcoholism and depression and all kinds of other things that people are dealing with, it skyrockets around this time all the way through the end of, you know, through January. And so we need to be looking out and having people, instead of looking down, looking up and wondering who God is and sharing that good news and revealing as the Word and Christ has revealed himself to us and the Spirit has revealed to us, we need to reveal to others and share that with them. That's why we're asking you to take what's on your seats right here. Take this and invite someone to the Candlelight on the 23rd, a couple days from now. Here's the thing. When you're doing that, let people say no for themselves. Just say, oh, you probably won't come. But let them say no. Just give them the invite and invite them and see what happens. And so you never know. This could be some way for you to really spread Christmas cheer for all to hear, right? You could sing too, but this is an opportunity for you. That as you know of the good news, you should want to share and tell and pass this around. John 17, I love this. John 17, after saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. The glory, glorify your Son. He can give glory back to you, for you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each of you, each one you have given him. In verse 3, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, the one you sent. And that word know in the Hebrew is yada, 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 yada. You've heard that? Yada. It's a way to, the word is, excuse me, yada. It's described as, there it is up there, to describe the intimate knowledge between an individual, to know somebody, to know something about them. So yada is that knowing. And then there's the gnosis, which is a knowledge, experiential knowledge, knowing in a deep way. As Buddy knew Santa, he knew him. As you know Jesus Christ, some of you here this morning know him. Maybe there's some of you that don't, but that gnosis is that understanding that it is a way to know him deeper. It's a deeper knowing of the heart. And so as we do this, do we know that we know that we know Jesus Christ in our lives? Do we know him even when we're going through the valleys? Do we know him when things are going tough? Do we know him? Not just know stuff about him. We can watch documentaries. We could read books about him. But do we truly know him? As the Holy Spirit reveals to us and illuminates our hearts and minds, do we know who Jesus is? And that those two words are important for you to hear, that God wants us to know him, to truly experience him in deep, meaningful ways. He wants us to experience him. Experience is that best teacher, I believe. I learn more when God takes me through these tests and he speaks to me and says, this is what I want you to learn. The same is true right now, or what you're going through. I don't know if it's tough for you this season, but December can be tough. But it can also be a good teacher, and I don't want you to waste that. I want you to know God in these seasons and see what he's trying to teach you in that. So knowing God personally and relationally is different than just knowing about him. We have to know him by faith and emotions and experience. And many of us do. Many of us have a story. Maybe there's some of you that want to know him. He wants to know you more and more. So that yeda and gnosko are two great words. I want you to take a look at this clip that we have here coming up here.
Hey! You found it!
Buddy!
I need to tell you something.
I know, Eddie, there's something I have to tell you right now. I didn't mean anything I said back there, not a word. I know you may be a little, chemically imbalanced, but you've been right about a lot of things. I don't want you to leave. You're my son, and I love you.
Now, that's my favorite scene in the movie. The relationship that Buddy has with his father isn't a good one. You know, Buddy is seeking to know his father, to understand who his father is, to know who he is and where his identity is. And the father kind of rejects him. And then you have that beautiful scene where he comes around. They're looking for the engine for the sleigh and things like that. But don't miss that. What they're really you're seeing here is that the father comes around and he sees his son for who he really is, his son. He sees him. And he loves him, and he hugs him, and I love that. And so this season, as we're going through Christmas, and you're going to all the different parties, and you're getting the pace and rhythm are just kind of breakneck. I just pray that you'll be able to just center yourselves every day, just for a little bit, to know that you are loved by the Heavenly Father, that there's such good news. This good news that Jesus has come from on high in the form of a baby that was in a manger. It's the greatest gift that we could ever receive is this salvation and this relationship with Jesus. Because of that, there's great joy that we should feel, that we should know, not just know about, but feel in our heart and then live it out amongst others. When people experience you, do they see someone that has great joy? Do they see Jesus in you? I know that's a cry in my heart. I want people to see Jesus in me. I want people to see that I have a joy. I'm not talking about the goofy stuff, but I'm talking about the contentment. And I think that what happens is that as we get older and we grow more and more in our faith, we get ground down and we get hardened, and we can, instead of becoming better, we become bitter. We're not maturing in the way we should. We're not acting like Buddy, but we're acting like his father. We're just ground down and kind of just bitter about everything, sour about everything. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe I just want to encourage you that's not an easy thing to carry. It's not. You're not meant to carry that. God wants you to know of the good news. That is his son, Jesus. And because of that, we have this great joy. That you can't do it on your own. You don't have the strength. I don't have the strength. But I have joy because he can. He can do the things that I can do. He is my strength and weakness. He has overcome the world. And I'm going to continue to have problems in this world. But I know that he has overcome that world. And because of that, I have great joy. And I pray this season that you know the joy that is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you demonstrating that? Do you have that childlike faith? What happened to us as a people? Why do we lose that childlike wonder? I remember my kids when they would just open their toys, the wonder that I would see in Emma's face and I'd see on Luke's face, and just screaming, holding up their presents and dancing around like Buddy in that movie. Just the joy that was there. I want that all year round. You're like, that's exhausting, Pastor. It is. But it can happen. You can have that joy. And it starts by looking at just being in awe of who God is and asking his spirit to fall fresh upon you and for Christ to take that weight and take it upon himself. And listen, when you do that, I just pray that you would know the joy is available to you. You don't have to continue to walk under such weight of this life. You could surrender that. And when you surrender that, you've got to tell somebody about it. Hey, this is what God did for me. No one can tell you you're wrong because that's your story. That's your story that's unique to you. That's God's gift to you. Each one of us has a testimony on how God has worked in our lives and how the Holy Spirit has moved. You should tell that with great joy. I just pray this morning as a reminder for you to live and step out in joy, that you'll experience God in those meaningful ways. In Mark 10, 14 through 16, when Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples, and he said, let them, and there was people that were doing things in and around them, and they were pushing the children away. And he said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Then he took the children in his arms, and he placed his hand on their heads, and he blessed them. Listen, I know life is hard, and it can be tough. And I've had days, and I've had years. I've had multiple years. But listen, there's a joy that God wants you to experience. That even when you're going through it, maybe it's a diagnosis, a bad relationship, an unanswered prayer, God wants you to know his joy, that you know that he's with you, that you're not by yourself, that you should experience that joy fully, fully, with wide-eyed curiosity, holy curiosity, that I want that. That's my hope and prayer for you. That's my prayer for you as your pastor right now, is that you'll have that holy curiosity to find out who God is and that who his Spirit is and what he has for you, that you won't lose that because of the hardened pace of life, because people are mean and awful. And let's be honest, they are. They can be. They can be. But here's the thing. Give them the benefit of the doubt. See them as sons and daughters. Give them look at them as created in the image of God. Have that wide-eyed wonder this season. And have that holy curiosity. That's our hope and prayer for you. So here's the thing. As we step out in holy curiosity and wide-eyed wonder, when we do that, there's an action that comes. That the more we do that, the more we develop that muscle, that spiritual muscle memory, we're stepping out in faith. And when we do that, that reaction, because of what Jesus did for me, I'm going to step out and live for him. Amen. Because of what Jesus did for me, that he came down as God among us, God with us, that I'm going to have great joy. And I'm going to go and tell people about this. That when we see this, this should produce a reaction, a response in us. We're not supposed to be consumers, but we're supposed to be just letting God consume us like we sang. And so my hope and prayer is that action, that push of the Holy Spirit will nudge you to continue to walk in faith and great joy and telling of the good news. Tell others what God has done in your life. Smile more. Let that come out of you. I don't like smiling. Well, Buddy said smiling's his favorite. Smile more. In Romans 8, 14 through 16, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. God sees us all around his Christmas tree. And he sees us with joy and in wonder. He sees us. And he wants you to know him more. Not know about him. Not going through the motions, but truly know him. And willing to go through whatever it is to tell people about him. Just like Buddy did. That's our hope and prayer for you this morning. Hey, listen, as we go through this next season, we're going to be going through... we have Christmas candlelights coming up, but from there, as we go and progress and take that step of action and step of faith and boldly stepping out as children of God, we want to give you an opportunity. I like when Buddy says, "Do you remember this?" He says, "What are the main food groups here?" It says, "Candy cane, candy corns, and syrup." Right. Then he says, "The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear." We're going to have a time of fasting. We're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to have worship nights like we did last year. We recognize that you can't make all of them. But here's the thing. You're allowed to come to all of them. You're invited to all of them. But it's a great time because this is a chance for us to declare as we celebrate Christmas and we celebrate who Jesus is and that joy that we have. We're going to start that next year proclaiming and fasting and seeing what God is speaking to us and letting the Spirit move. But also singing out in praise and worship to who he is and thanking him for all that he's done. So there's times you can hit on the QR code, prayer nights. We're going to have prayer nights on January 8th, 15th, and 22nd at all campuses. You can hit the QR code. But we're all invited to come and pray. We're going to be praying together and praying for the year and praying for one another and our community and our families and our country. We're just going to be lifting all these things up in prayer, as well as prayer and fasting and these worship nights and then these prayer nights as well. But here's the thing, and I don't want you to miss this. Is think back to when you were a kid. What was that gift that you received from your parents that just caused you to have such joy? Do you remember what that is? I can think of what it is for me. I remember getting the Millennium Falcon, the Star Wars spaceship. I was excited to get that. But I got to tell you this. Outside of my marriage and my birth of my children, the greatest gift that God has ever given me is that moment on August 9th, 1990, when he spoke that small, still voice into my heart and said, follow me. It's the greatest gift. And ever since then, I've been trying to figure out what all that means. And I've been spending the rest of my life then and now to telling people about this good news. And I want to do it with great joy. And my hope and prayer is that you will experience the joy of Christmas through a faith and a relationship in Jesus Christ. Don't you want that? So I want to invite you to stand. I want to invite you to stand. And listen, this morning, I know there may be somebody here that just needed to hear this, that they just need to be reminded that this is the source of their joy. It's in Christ. That you're just worn down. So I just want to pray for you right now. So Heavenly Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters. That life is tough and life is hard. People can be difficult. But Lord, I just pray that we wouldn't focus on that, but we would turn our eyes and wonder and curiosity and awe of who you are. And within that, there should produce a response and a reaction with great joy. So, Lord, forgive us when we don't live our lives with great joy. Lord, we repent of that. And so, Lord, we just come to you and just stand in solidarity together. That, Lord, with joy, we're going to walk out of here with great joy and proclaiming and telling people about what you've done for us. We're going to do it winsomely. We're going to do it boldly. We're going to declare in faith of who you are. So, Father, help us that if we've been hurt by others or hurt in the past, would you give us the grace to move on? Would you heal those wounds that we're able to get up and move on? So, Father, help us in this season to experience your love because of what you did and your coming with great joy. Help us to tell others. And, Father, right now I pray for that individual with heads bowed and eyes closed. They may not even know who you are. That maybe you would like to know who Jesus is and have a relationship with him. That you would like to know him as the forgiver of your past and the leader of your future. Maybe that's you that's here this morning. That you don't know what it is to have a relationship or this joy of the Lord in your heart. If that's you, I just want you, just put your hand up real high. I want to pray with you. It's okay. And so, Father, we just thank you for today. I thank you for this beautiful service. Thank you for the reminder of who you are. Lord, I thank you for those shepherds, those outcasts of society who you love so much that you included them part of that story. Lord, may we be the people that go with great joy to tell people the good news and the hope and the life that is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we give you the praise and honor, and all of God's people said, amen.
Pastor Ben, you guys can be seated.